Glory to God. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'll never forget when I got the revelation, Kenneth Hagin, listening to some of his tapes and teaching. And when I got the revelation that I was free and I wasn't trying to get free, I'll never forget that. You know, lots of times people, and there's one of those things where you got to be careful of what you listen to on so-called faith teaching. A lot of faith teaching is the idea of trying to get people free instead of telling them they are. Telling them they're free. I've always, you know, it's one of the things of, and I've used this illustration many times, I've said it, that Kenneth Copeland did with a young man that wanted to quit smoking. And he said, the young man, he said, every time the guy said, I don't know what it means. He said, I've tried to quit smoking. He said, I know I don't want to as a Christian. I don't want to smoke. But he said, I can't get break this habit. And he said, Kenneth Copeland told him, I'm going to tell you what to do. He said, every time you light up a cigarette, you say, thank God I'm free. I don't smoke anymore. And the guy said, what? He said, just do it. He said, well, it doesn't make any sense that you'd, you know, do such a thing. He said, you just do it. After a short period of time, this guy came back to Kenneth Copeland and told him, he said, you know, it's amazing. He said, every time I do that, and he said, I do it, I think this is so stupid. I'm saying, thank God, I don't smoke anymore. I'm free of smoking. I don't smoke anymore. He said, one day I went to light my cigarette up, and he said, my God, he said, I don't want to smoke. I don't have to smoke anymore. He said, I ain't touched a cigarette since. I didn't have a problem with it. So you get a person start to say the right thing, start to move in the right direction. So you start acting like you're free than trying to get free. Hallelujah. Whom the Son set free, the Bible says, free indeed. Well, what is that, someday down the road? Is that, when is it? If he has set us free, hallelujah, then we are. Then you start talking like you have the freedom. See, when I learned that, I mean, I first got that revelation, that changed everything. I never tried to ever get healed after that. I always said, I am healed. Hallelujah. I am healed. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. I got that revelation by Kenneth Hagin telling a story where he had all the symptoms that came back on him of the heart problems he had as a child that he was healed from and was going to die from, and he was healed. And all these symptoms came back on him, and the devil told him he wasn't going to get healed this time, and he started laughing at the devil. And this went on for a period of time of him laughing at the devil, and the devil said, what you laughing at? He said, because you said I'm not going to get healed. The devil said, yeah, you ain't going to get healed. You got healed before, but you're not going to get healed this time. And he started laughing at the devil. The devil said, why are you laughing? He said, because you told me I'm not going to get healed. He said, I ain't trying to get healed. I am healed. Boy, I tell you, that revelation went off on me. It's like, my God. See, this is why so many people, you know, I realize this. When I started off as a Christian, God did a lot of things to me out of really an ignorance of faith. I was operating as best as I understood. But I really wasn't walking in the good revelation that you could really have. Boy, I tell you, you need to come to that place. Quit trying to get healed. Just receive it. Start believing you are. Start talking, saying the right thing. Start speaking the right stuff. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm not trying to get free. I am free. Hallelujah. Just like that young man. He just got him to, Ken Copeland got him to start talking his freedom instead of his bondage. Hallelujah. And he walked free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, what Jesus has done for us is so phenomenal. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, that's just positive thinking. No, it isn't. That's what the Bible says. You walk in line with what the Bible says. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart. He said, you're going to have what you said. Glory to God. Jesus said that. Anybody come along to me and argue the point all they want, I ain't listening to none of them. Jesus done made the statement. I'm sticking with Jesus and not some unbelieving preacher. Hallelujah. I'm staying with Jesus. Jesus said, what I say, I can bring it to pass. You know, Jesus never said what you believe is going to come to pass. Jesus said, what you say will come to pass. There's loads of people who believe the right thing, but it never happens because they never say the right thing. Never comes to pass. The church has been told and taught through the centuries to talk wrong about things and then try to act like they're talking faith. No, it doesn't matter how much you believe. You could believe Jesus is Lord, God raised him from the dead, but you don't ever confess it, you never get saved. You have to confess it. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession's made unto salvation. Salvation never comes till one has said, it don't matter what you believed in your heart. You can believe the right thing and it'll never come to pass. Hallelujah, it's what you say brings those things to pass. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody's got a mouth. Glory to God. We can all say the right thing. I'll tell you, the power in the church has been in the voice of the church. That's why God put preachers in the earth. He said, how can men get saved unless people go preach? He didn't say, how can men get saved unless they believe? He did say that. The church doesn't understand the subject of faith, and we've messed around with it and don't understand the power that God has put in the voice of humanity. Hallelujah. God gave us a voice, and it is, you start agreeing with God, and ain't no telling what you could bring to pass. Hallelujah. The most wonderful things. I'll tell you, miracles come to pass by people speaking and saying the right things. Hallelujah. And that's what we want to do, start to saying the right stuff. Glory to God, that's all free. It doesn't preach me happy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, this morning we're going, still on our subject, dealing with the areas of being filled with the Spirit. And we're going to be looking at some of the things from a practical side concerning ministry and things and as Christians this morning. But it's about the Spirit-filled life. And we need to understand there's a Spirit-filled life to live, but there's a Spirit-filled life in the church. Now, we talked last week about the Holy Spirit specifically and talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit. Know who's in you. The Holy Spirit in you. He'll guide you and lead you. But one of the things, He'll guide you and lead you according to the Word. And we're going to look at some things specifically in Scripture we can see as how the Holy Spirit works in people. How He does manifest Himself and your part that you play. See, I was taught as a young boy in church, you know, we go to church and, you know, God can do anything and He does what He wants and, you know, God does this and He does that. And God really, you know, He don't need you. He don't really need you. He can get along without you and all this stuff they tell you. And, you know, if God wants to move and do something, He will. And if He don't want to, He won't and all this kind of stuff. And all that nonsense led people to the point of sitting around waiting for God, and man was never taught his part, the part that we play. There's one thing is, when Smith Wigglesworth, I didn't understand what it meant the first time I heard him say it. I read, you know, a thing of him saying it. But he said, if the Holy Spirit doesn't move, I move the Spirit. And I thought, what did he mean by that one? Because my words, the church that I went to and a kid, they'd have told you, what do you think? You could tell God what to do? And boy, they'd have thrown you right out the door of the church. And because they didn't know, they had no idea. Really, I grew up in a church filled with baby Christians. And they thought they were the most spiritual. But they were all baby Christians. They didn't understand their part with God. They didn't understand what the part that they played with God. They didn't know. I'm not throwing rocks at them. They're walking in the knowledge that they had. But they were all baby Christians. They didn't understand or know, you know, what their part was. And they didn't know what to do. We need to understand. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, if that's true, then I have a part, don't I? Pleasing God. Well, we always thought you pleased God because, you know, you didn't cuss, swear, you know, throw rocks through the neighbor's window or something. Well, you know, those people did all that stuff but knew nothing about faith. They knew nothing about pleasing God. They didn't know a thing about it. They knew nothing about pleasing God. They had faith for salvation, but that's where the door ended. That's where it ended, right there, faith for salvation. If you got anything else from God, it's just because it was a good day. Because it seemed that sometimes God woke up in the morning and he was unhappy. And he got out of the wrong side of bed and boy, you know, then, you know. And he was killing people for a good reason and he was doing all this stuff. And, you know, you could never really count on anything. And so there's what religion does. Religion bases a thing. But we want to see, because the Bible tells us where to hook up with God. We need to hook up with him. Why? Because he wants to hook up with you. Why would God went through all the problem of the trouble of having you born again so he could put the Holy Spirit in you and ignore you? And just want to do it. If he wants to do what he wants to do, I have no say in it. Well, then he needs to get out. Then was he just a hitchhiker? Is he there to torment us? Well, I sure don't believe that. It's a cooperation together. And we're going to look at some things in the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read some things from the 14th chapter, but I want to just say something about, because we have from a scriptural standpoint, really the 14th chapter of Corinthians is tied to chapters 12 and 13. You would never get the full import of chapter 14 without understanding chapter 12 and 13 and 14. They're all tied together. What the church world did now, the church that I went to, they never talked about gifts of the Spirit, so chapter 12 was never discussed. And then chapter 13 was many times misrepresented because they didn't know where it fit in. And they would talk about, you don't need any of the rest of this stuff because if you just got love, it all works. Well, I'll tell you what, I found out in their church it sure didn't work. Because all that love stuff didn't work because they didn't understand what it was about. Now, I'm not knocking them from, but I just, if you don't understand things from the scriptural standpoint, you don't understand spiritual things. You need to understand. If you don't understand spiritual things, you don't understand the love of God. The love of God's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And if you want to cooperate with it, you have to understand. If you want to walk in the love of God, it's a spiritual thing manifested into the physical. It's not a physical, just a physical thing. You know, everybody today, you know, is love. I mean, just like Jesus. Jesus would never be allowed to go into a church today and make a whip and run all the hypocrites out. They'd throw Jesus out and keep the hypocrites. Because he wasn't walking in love. If he would have loved, he'd have never made a whip and ran anybody out. Dear God, he'd invited all of them in. My words, he'd have set up a table and been a money changer. And so, I want you to understand this. When we read these scriptures, look at these days, I want you to understand, Paul was writing the church at Corinth. They had problems of immaturity in their church. They had immaturity. They didn't know how to, they had spiritual gifts. In fact, Paul told them in the beginning of the letter of 1 Corinthians that they came behind in no gifts. Now, when he said, we always think about just manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, he's also talking about ministry gifts. They came behind in no gifts. We know that because of things that are said in the 14th chapter. We know that there are certain ministry gifts that operated in that church that operate in most none of the churches today. Yet they had them. They had the prophet's ministry in operation today. Most churches will not even accept the prophet's ministry. They don't think there's prophets today. They don't believe in them. There's no prophets today. You know, all you have is a pastor or a teacher, and you have an evangelist, and that's all you're allowed to have. You can't have the apostle today, yet they're in the New Testament, there's 20-some people listed as apostles in the New Testament writings. But today you're not allowed to have that. See, that's gone. See, they talk about the New Testament church, but I want to show you some things today because most of even the Spirit-filled church is no longer New Testament church because they no longer walk in things that we used to walk in years ago. Some years back, we used to walk in as today they don't. They turn around and they're just, you know, following mostly, you know, God out of their intellect more than they are out of the Spirit. But yet the scriptures teach us. Now, Paul's talking to these people about being in church and what they're doing in church. He talked about in the 12th chapter about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He turns around and lays out what these gifts are, these manifestations that the Holy Spirit brings. And he tells them in the 12th chapter that these operate through the entire body. In fact, he goes on and tells you the need of the whole body. All Christians. Why? The Holy Spirit is manifest through all Christians. There's no such thing as a Christian that don't have demonstrations of supernatural powers through them. It's just people don't know how to cooperate with them to allow them to. They don't know how. But see, the church world in general has put a halt. Well, we don't have that today. We don't have these gifts anymore. We don't have them. And the ones who believe in them, they think they're designated through a few. And usually it has to do with the person with a ministry gift. Now understand, there are gifts that go with ministry gifts. And those gifts do, and we see them because people in the forefront, and because they're in the forefront, we see them more often in operation. You get around to, you know, major ministers and stuff who have, you know, certain gifts. You'll see certain manifestations of certain types of gifts operate through them. Some through, may have, like you get over, especially real evangelists. You'll get over and start to see a person who's an evangelist who understands how to operate in the Spirit. You'll usually see gifts of healings and operate through evangelists. You know, you take many in. He'll see manifestations of gifts of healings. He goes out, ministers. You'll see that manifestation. That's tied to his ministry. And that's part of what the amplification of that gift that operates through him. But we know this from the 12th chapter and what it tells us about the need of every part of the body, that there is a need if we're going to have the manifestation. See, most teaching, they teach the first part of the chapter, that's the gifts. The next part is how much we need each other. The whole thing is he's trying to teach is the operation of the gifts through the whole body. Because the end of the chapter tells about the gifts and it tells us about one of the gifts. It talks about in the church, it's said in the church, first apostle, prophets, then healings. You know, gifts of healing should be one of the most operational in the church. And think of the most church world you go to, they don't believe in it happened. They believe God gave us doctors. That's the gift of God. No, it's not. There's no such gift of doctors listed in the Bible. Just like there's no gifts in there of auto mechanics, there's no garbage men, there's no, you know, carpenters. They're not gifts given by God. We need to understand. We got all this nuttiness in the church today. And the gifts that God listed, we're not allowed to have anymore. We're not allowed to use those. You're allowed to have it. But we find out, see, he was talking about the unity of the body and the need for one another from this point, because God manifests through everybody. And he manifests through different people, through different gifts. And not everybody got them all. They operate through one individual that you don't need other individuals. That's why most of the time when people talk about they just need Jesus and nobody else, most people are not saying that from the right standpoint. I understand, you know, that people making statements about, you know, they just need Jesus and nothing else. But most people are making the statement that it's me and Jesus and I don't need anybody else. I'm sorry, that's not true. Jesus even needs Ed. Jesus needs you. You know, I've heard, well, you know, God don't really need us. That's the biggest lie on the face of the earth. Then why don't he let me alone? Why is he always bugging me to do things that he wants me to do him for him, and he don't need me? Well, if he don't need me, he sure has made a mess of things, hasn't he? Well, he needs us. And he needs it. He manifests. And you and I need each other. We need different gifts within the body. You know, one of the things is that here in the last days, the church has been praying for manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We need also, probably even more, the manifestations of the gifts that Jesus gave to men, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, come back to their place of prominence where they're supposed to be in the body. See, we need them, and we should be asking. Those are gifts that Jesus gave to men when he left. Those are specifically given by Jesus Christ for the church. Specifically, and I'll tell you, they're not in operation today. We got men and left that they stand there. They're not pastors anymore. We don't have, you know, their life coaches and all that devilish stuff. There's no life coaches mentioned in the Bible. There ain't life coaches. They're pastors, and there's an anointing that goes with that. Life coaches is nothing but this psychological trash that has got into the church, has tried to take a place of gifts of the Spirit. They call words of knowledge no more than men get out of books that they read on psychology, and they use them on people, and they call them words of knowledge, and it ain't nothing but the devil talking through men. And the church is full of it. You go look at these counseling books. I can show you almost any of the world's counseling books have the same things in them that the church's counseling books have in it. And they call it God. All you do is tie a scriptures to it. Now it becomes Christian. One major minister, heard him say it with his own voice, has the largest youth ministry in America. He said, I go look and find out what the world's using to reach kids, and then I take it and I use it and I turn it into a scriptural thing. In other words, the devil has all the good ideas to reach kids. And so what you do is go find out what the devil is. This man is a so-called spirit-filled. He's so, I mean, a huge ministry. And I heard him say that, and I've never listened to him since. Because if he's doing it with them, he's doing it with all the other stuff too. He's got a huge church, thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and he goes out and finds what the devil's doing. Ain't that something? You know, you and I wouldn't have to pray 2 seconds. I can look around and find out what the devil's doing quick. God, you don't have to seek God anymore. You just go out and look and see what the devil's doing. And then put a scripture on it. Now call a Christian. You see, we got a lot of messed up stuff going on out here, folks. We got a lot of ministers who used to walk, like that man. I remember when he used to walk in the Word. He don't know more. You don't walk in the Word. Oh, you go to the church, they'll read stuff to you out of the Bible, but they got all their other stuff they got going on. And I ain't going there. They got youth ministries, and it's all tied into play. Oh, we can get the youth come, you know, because we play. We got a lot of play going on. You know, I'll tell you, you get this play stuff going on. My words, I just got a thing from, I didn't know what it was, and I got a paper, the thing is this women's conferences coming out of the Spirit-filled. And it's out of a group overseas, but they're, you know, very worldwide known, and they're coming here, and we're going to do one in New York. They've doing in major cities around in the world. They're going out to do women's conferences. And I wanted to see what this thing's about and what it is. I'm going to tell you what, it ain't nothing but flesh. The whole thing. I watched a video of what their conferences are like in them, and man, it ain't nothing but flesh. It's nothing but like a party. The whole thing's done like a party. And we're going to have women. We want to become everything that we can. It's everything from a fashion show to stuff. It just looks ridiculous anyhow. But they have all kind of stuff, and they'll throw a little Jesus in here or there. They'll throw a little stuff in here. They'll call it worship, and they have glitter falling from the ceilings and all of this stuff going on. And it ain't nothing. But, you know, to me, it just reminded what companies do to try to get people to, you know, get them in and just get them all hyped up to go. And I saw it ain't nothing but flesh, no spirit in the thing. I remember when that ministry used to be in the spirit. And they're doing all this stuff, and people are calling it, this is God. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, we go over in what we call the industrialized nations, and we have all this money to do all this kind of stuff. I guess the poor countries, they probably can't follow God. They must be pretty bad because they can't afford all the glitter and all the flashing lights, and they can't afford all the stuff, and they can't afford all the dancers and everything like they have. And they can't. So I guess these people there, how are they going to get hooked up with God if they need all that stuff to get hooked up with God? How are they going to do it? If you need those things to get hooked up with God, then you're just going to have it all the time. And I mean, you can't go home. You'll have to, the only place you can get hooked up with God is you go to the place where they have all the instruments to go with the stuff to make the party. You know? See, that's what I did when I was a drunk. You know, certain places that you'd go to and you wanted to party, and there were certain bars that were party places, and so you went there because you couldn't party at home. You didn't have there what they had at that place, so you went there to have it, and that's where you could do it. And that's exactly what the church world's turned into. The churches aren't come places you come and seek God. You come to the party. You come to the place to feel good. You come there because you can't feel good at home. you can't get it there. Hallelujah. You don't have the mood lights at home. Hallelujah. You can't afford. And the smoke machine. You know, I ain't got the money for the smoke machine. You know, and I don't have it, you know. And I need some dancers, definitely. I need a few girls to wiggle around in front. You know, that's what we need. Hey, church has got it like crazy. They got them up there. The fat girls don't get to do it. I don't understand. God only moves through the ones with a cute butt. That's the only one he moves through. I don't understand it. So I guess they can't get in contact with God, poor girls. We got the most crazy stuff going on out here, and they call it church, and it ain't nothing but the devil. I don't mind telling you. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. That was all free. I won't charge you a nickel for that. Hallelujah. Do you know how much God appreciates you just like Him? You know how much He appreciates that today? That you don't need a show to like Him? That you don't need a show to go after? Do you know how much He appreciates that? God longs for that. Hallelujah. I look in the Bible. You know, God, He met Elijah out in the desert. But Elijah didn't need a show. God showed. Hallelujah. You want a show? I want the show God's going to put on. You don't want the show Ed's going to put on, would put on anyhow. I'm not good at that stuff anyway, so, you know, we'd have to definitely hire a choreographer or something. I don't know. We couldn't do it with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But anyhow, we need the entire body, and the entire body is supposed to manifest gifts, not talents. See, we call talents God. And we've given away gifts. We don't have gifts anymore. It's people's talents. Actually, I won't tell you that. I've never said that before. That just came by the Holy Ghost. Just came up out of me. See, today it's all about talent. Now look, there's nothing wrong with talent. But you know, we develop talents. We can develop. We can develop. You know, somebody say, well, they're just sort of talented at that. Not, you know, lots of times it isn't that way. It's amazing how many years some people have to go to school to get talented at something. It's amazing how many years a guy had to be an apprentice as a bricklayer to be a good bricklayer. It's amazing. He just didn't have the talent. He had to still go. It's amazing how many years. I mean, Mike, you just could fix all the cars. That's just the way you were born. You could fix the cars, right? That's just the way it was, you know? You didn't have to learn a thing, did you? No, just all talent. Just all talent. I want you to tell you this. You can learn things about gifts operation, but you can't make gifts operate. You can't do those things. It's given the Holy Spirit. What you do is you learn to cooperate with it, but it isn't something you have or you hold or you really, you know, and the church doesn't like that. It is much more comfortable for people, especially, see, if you're not going to learn to teach people to walk in faith, there's only one other alternative. You're going to have to go after talent. There is no other way to go. You're going to have to go to talent. Well, we find that Jesus is teaching Paul's in the Word of God. So Paul's by the Holy Spirit. And really, we can say if it's the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus telling people the need for the body and the manifestations of God through the entire body. The manifestations. And then after Paul teaches all those things, then Paul goes on, and understand this, chapter 13, there was no chapter 13 in Paul's letter. There were no chapters in Paul's letters, not one. Man put them there for study purposes. Chapter 13 is part of the discourse concerning the operations of the Spirit. Paul got talking about gifts, their manifestations through the body, and verse 1 of 13 says this, though I speak with tongues of men and angels but have not love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. He said, although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And goes on, he talks about it not profiting him anything. The whole point of it is, he has been teaching them on gifts of the Spirit and their manifestations through the entire body. And then he tells you this, gifts in operation profit you nothing if you don't walk in love. In other words, the motivation for operations of the Spirit is love. That's the motivation. Having the motivation don't give you the gift. You have to yield to the gift. Just because you walk in love don't mean the gifts are going to work. He talks about people with manifestations of gifts, and he says concerning those gifts and manifestation, they're not going to profit you. In other words, when you obey God, God wants to profit you. Or in other words, he wants to bless you. He wants to bless people who obey him and do what he says. That's what he does. And he said, but if your motivation's wrong, sometimes you get people operating gifts of the Spirit, they'll operate in them, and they do them specifically to bless the body and other people. There's other people like to do them because they like to be seen. It puts me in the limelight. So you have to watch why you do what you do. You can do the right thing, but it's all wrong in what you did, because the motivation that it was done in is wrong. You know, there's ministers that I know. I asked the Lord one time, because I knew this one minister was really messed up, doing all kinds of things that were really way out wrong. In the background of his life, it was not good at all. Yet he was very popular in front of everybody. And I asked the Lord about the operation through him. Why do you still operate in such a powerful way through him? And this is what the Lord said. I don't do that for him. He said, the people come to those meetings and they expect these things to happen. And he said, I'm doing this for them and not him. He said, he gets no profit from this. See, he thinks he's doing all this stuff and he's doing it. It's God doing it for the people. See, in chapter 14, will tell us what we do is to edify the church or to bless. It's about blessing people is why these things are done. So in other words, see, his motivation, he didn't do what he did out of love. He's over here doing his thing, but he has no reward. His ministry ended up crashing after a while and stuff and things. And he ended up out of the ministry. But those things took place. Those people, his operation was, he wasn't walking in love concerning people. He was just a showboat out in front. And he thought, I guess, God was using him because God manifested him because it had to do with him. I understood this a long time ago. Even my gift, and I stand before you to teach and minister the word, it's not for me, it's for you. It don't make me a big deal. If you think I'm a big deal for it, I can't be a big deal from it. It ain't my gift. It was given to me. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't have the revelation I got if I didn't have the gift. The gift brought this stuff. I understand the things I understand. I realize where it comes from. It's the gift. It ain't Ed's bright. Dear Lord, it ain't bright. But I'll tell you what, I'm a lot smarter than loads of big name ministers because I understand that. There's a lot of big name ministers. All their education backgrounds and stuff, that's what they walk in. That's what they live in. They think they know things because they went somewhere. I got to this and I've learned that and I went here to school or that to school and blah, blah, blah. I learned this a long time ago. I learned this before I ever went to Bible school. The gift makes things happen that ain't Ed. There's a lot happens God does through me that is much more intelligent than I am. And I'm not putting down my own personal intelligence. I'm just telling because I understand how the gift works. Things come to me, revelations come to me that I turn around and, you know, people seek like crazy to try to get them. I'll never forget as a pastor, I had a pastor in a church I was in who didn't understand his gift and he didn't know understand about his gift. And he was always trying through his own study and his own mind trying to get sermons and things. And I was a young Christian and I used to think, I don't understand him. I mean, stuff just comes to me. But I realized then after some time, he isn't hooked up on his inner man. He's only operating out of the outer man. He's operating out of his mind on what's on the outside. His education that he had through seminary and all that kind. And he's trying to work all that thing. And he doesn't realize he has this supernatural gift in him that would bring things to him, would absolutely astound him. And he was always trying to look smart. You know, the Holy Ghost will make an idiot look smart. The Holy Ghost can make every one of us look like we might know something. So you need to understand it. That doesn't put down that I don't have any part of it to play in the thing, but I understand what brings the things to make it work. I understand the foundation of the thing, and it's God. It's God's working. And if you don't get a hold of that, you know, this is what, see, we're in America here. In America, we put our education way out here, and we talk about God and how great, but God's about back here, and it's our ability to figure things out, to work things out, you know, to what we can do, and then we're trusting God. But really, lots of times people aren't trusting God. I have found this out. When I go overseas or any place to minister like that, and I especially, you go into nations where they aren't as advanced as here's America, it's the easiest thing to get moves of the Spirit of God. Here in America, you pull teeth trying to get God to move because people are in their minds, are in their intellect. They're trying to reason everything out. They come to the show, you know. They don't realize, they don't understand about gifting. Like, I watch ministers lots of times, and I realize in their ministry, I realize they don't really understand their spiritual gift. They don't understand it. They understand how to move an audience through the soulish realm, how to move and get people moved by, you know, saying and doing just certain things will tick things in people. You know, you can sit down and train people like monkeys, and you just say certain things, and man, they're like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And they call it moves of the Spirit. It's not moves of the Spirit. They're not ministering to people's spirits. And this is one thing that's about this, the gift of God in us. It's to minister to your heart. It's to touch you, to change you on the inside. Because what is believed on the inside and spoken through the mouth on the outside is what brings God's power and demonstration into the earth. God manifests through our believing and saying. So you got to believe it. It's out of the inside. The whole thing works out of the inside. The gift that I have, that's a gift. It's a spiritual gift. It's not a physical gift. You don't remember when I first started off as how much God, I'd go to God all the time. Lord, what on earth do you call me for? You should have called somebody else. There's people out here got a lot more in the ball than I do. And I used to tell him that all the time. Why did you do this? Why did you put me? There's other people I think would do this much better. He wouldn't have talked to me about it. You got it? You know, you're going to, that's just the way it is. God doesn't look like men look at things. God doesn't look for the genius. It's not what he's looking for. He's not looking for bright. The scripture's clear on the subject. The Bible says he didn't call many wise. So get over it. You ain't smart. Get over it. You're not very bright. We're here because from the perspective of humanity, we're not very bright. Yet God put a genius in us, the Holy Spirit, who knows all the things of God. Oh, you know how many things I get? They got to start up all these Christian schools. I can use my background if I've had ministry, and I can, you know, work up to get a doctorate. Now, you know how many ministers, how many guys I have a rabbi working to get doctorates and stuff, because they want that post hole digger, you know, thing on the front there, a PhD for a post hole digger. They got to want to have that on the front. I am not interested on that stuff on the front. I'm not interested in me becoming famous. The only fame we need in America is Jesus Christ. We have too many famous ministers now, famed by their own fame and by people being carnal. We don't need it. We need manifestations of the gifts, of those gifts that they have in them. Not their manifestation of who they are and what they are, their personality. I personally don't care. God sometimes chooses people with the most messed up personality. And, you know, and I always often thought about that. When I came into Christianity and I heard a minister say it, and I've heard it a number of times since, but he said, God will usually choose a person that you need that really is in a box that you don't like. They'll choose the guy you don't like, but that's the one he'll want you to hook up with. The one you don't like. See, this is why most people go to churches, to places they like. Not places they need, places they like. They go to where the box they like with the box is. They like the box. I want the box. It's what the box is. What's in its death, but I like the box. It looks good, you know? I mean, today, commercials, you make everything look good. People buy stuff, it's just downright junk, but they buy it because the box is good. They know how to box that thing, and they buy the worst stuff, and they're buying. The church is exactly the same. It's not sitting down and looking at the gift. You know, I just want to, because some guy says he has a gift. I want to see a gift. Anybody can tell me they have anything, you know, I don't know. I don't know. God could tell me he's a millionaire. I wouldn't know unless I saw his bank account. We need to know this, because God says he's something. That don't make him something because he said it. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we need the gifts. The motivation of the gifts is out of love. In other words, we do it, these manifestations. So one of the things, we want to have the right motive because we want to be blessed ourselves in it. It's not, how terrible would it be? You know, Jesus said, you'll gain the whole world, lose your own soul. What would it be to gain and reaching people and doing all kinds of stuff, but you get no benefit from it? Yet there's people in the earth like that. That's what 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter is about. Really is dealing over the areas of the motivation for the operations of the Spirit. The motivation of operations of the Spirit is always the areas of love. In other words, it's for other people. It's to help other people develop. That's why we do what you do. That's what any of the gifts, whether it's an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, that's what the motivation of those gifts are. It isn't to put somebody in the forefront. It's to help people. It's to minister. We have been gifted with a gift to minister the Word of God or to speak on God's behalf to help you. That's what it's for. Boy, we got to get back to that. Ministers got to get back where they're speaking on God's behalf and not for men. Too much of ministry is men speaking for men. We got to get back where God is in representation, because why? The ministry of the gifts of the Spirit are from God, not from men. Men can't give you. You can sit and represent men. You know, they have today some of the largest churches in America. They got to be the largest churches because what they did is they sent out into communities. They sent out into them forms to fill out. They would send them out to sinners and saints alike, asking them what they would like to have in a church. And that's what they put in them. They put in them what they would like to have. Some of the fastest growing churches in America today, that's how they got working. There's churches that have gone in a couple years' time, have gone from a new church with nobody to churches with tens of thousands, and they do it by doing that. That's the big thing now. You have these companies come into your church, and they tell you how you can grow your church, and they have all these things, and it's just no different than growing a company. Everybody comes, you get a big crowd, and all these ministers, you don't even have to be a minister. I don't believe some of these guys are even gifted. I believe they're just talented at being in front of people. And they know how to do it. I could sit you here and name big name ministers that you think are wonderful, and this is what they've done with their church. Randall Greer talked about it. He said he went to one of these seminars on how to grow a church. He wanted to see what it was. These are spirit filled. He goes to it, and he was asked after it was over what he learned. And he said, This is what I learned. You don't need God to build a church. He said, that's what I learned there. You don't need God. You don't need, you just follow these principles. In other words, you keep people's flesh happening, you can pack it out today. Look at the stuff it does. That's exactly what this women's conference is. I was looking at. They're bringing women out by the tens and tens of thousands, and they're bringing them out and filling huge halls, and it's all the flesh. You play to people's flesh. You give the flesh one, people will get out after it, and Christians will pack it. You put enough flesh in it, they'll pack it. Make me feel good when I'm not. You won't go to those meetings and find 10,000 people. They'll talk to you like all of you are just wonderful. Everybody's great. Nobody will ever say nothing. You know, there's some scumbags out there. You need to get your life right. Nobody ever say that because, no, we ain't going to get people ready. Jesus Christ told Kenneth E. Hagin in 1950 that many of his people will not be ready for his return. The New Testament said there's going to be a great falling away. New Testament. Well, they sure do preach that, don't they? People falling away. I'm going to tell you what. Are we living in a falling away day? Dear God, we're living in a falling away day. I ain't going there and you ain't either. So, but the whole thing, these are the things that are going on. It's because, number one, when people leave the Word and they leave the things of the Spirit, you can take the things and say things about Scriptures, but you can minister to the flesh. And you can turn it into fleshly things. And I'm not going to do that. Hallelujah. See, the motivation of love is always for the other people, is helping them. And from the standpoint of we minister, it's ministering to build the body. That doesn't mean that we go along like today. Well, you know, we always have to have, you know, this thing, and I've got it, you know, over, and this is in the Rhema groups too, you know. You always have to have a positive message. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, there's one thing is I've learned about the Holy Spirit, and I know the Holy Ghost. And you know what? There's many things that he does concerning encouraging me. But I'll tell you what, there's many times in my walk that he has rebuked me for things. But he's never done it because it was to edify, to build me up, to get me on the right track, to get on the right road, to walk. Why? Because he wants to bless my life. We don't tell people today, just because you're born again, you're not going to get blessed because you're born again. You're going to have, there's things you must do according to Scripture to walk in the blessing of God. You're going to have to do it. And if people aren't doing it, you can stand up front and do all the motivational things. Now, you know how many times now I get guys want to come and speak to the church. I'm a motivational speaker. I'm sorry, I ain't found one of those in the Bible yet. When you get to be one of the Bible gifts, I'll invite you over. But until then, I don't need just motivation. We don't need motivation. You think Christians in America need motivation? Most Christians need a good kick in the pants is what they need. Man, most Americans need a good kick in the pants. Dear God, we don't need no. We have been motivated to live like hell. We have been motivated to do all kinds of things. The trouble we bear in is because the church motivated the people to sin. It's been motivated by the church. We're going to knock this junk off. Hallelujah. I need motivated to do right. I don't know about your flesh, but mine, I got to slap it every once in a while. Maybe you guys got it all figured out. I don't yet. I don't know. My flesh rises up and can get pretty darn noisy. We got to slap it down every once in a while. Hallelujah. Keep it in line. I learned a long time ago, I don't talk nice to my flesh. I don't look in the mirror and say, you're handsome, because I know the real God. You know, that flesh stinks. See, I see on the outside, we make it as beautiful as we can, but I know what all that flesh is made of, death. And I know what it's motivated toward, death. And even in the church world, it's always trying to make everything look pretty. Everything geared toward pretty. I'm going to tell you, let's get pretty on the inside. Let's walk in the beauty of the glory that God put in us. Hallelujah. That's what our nation needs. It needs a people who rise up in the glory that's in them. And people see that glory. I'm going to tell you, they'll think you're the most beautiful thing that ever happened. I remember one time meeting a woman who, years ago, an older woman. I'll tell you what, if you would have went from the natural standpoint, she looked like bad news. I mean, from a standpoint of beauty, she had no beauty about her. But I'm going to tell you, she had such a wonderful, sweet, glorious spirit that, my God, she would just attract people to her because of what was on the inside of her. She was just as attractive as crazy. And I could just tell people, my God, what she got on the inside, it hooks people, it grabs a hold of people. It gets a hold of people. And people want to be around her. There was nothing, there was no beauty about her at all. Nothing good looking at all on the outside. But I'm going to tell you what, she had a beauty. It was on the inside, was so great, it shone out of that house that she lived in. Hallelujah. And it was grabbing a hold of people. And see, that's what today it's all about, the beauty on the outside, the beauty on the outside, the beauty on the outside. All this, you know, women with and stuff going through the, what's that called? They starve themselves, anorexia, all that stuff. All that's demonic. It's demons. It's not an affliction. Doctors can't do a thing with it. They go through things, all this stuff. They go down there and try to send them to psychologists and send them. You don't cast that devil out of them. It ain't quitting. It's all because of this beauty junk. You know, I wear my makeup on a cake while the house. Well, neither can I. I don't care. You know, if you don't like the way I look, I mean, this is what you got, people. I comb my hair, brush my teeth, put on some deodorant. Here I am. You know, it's still this same face sticking out of the suit. This is what you got. I mean, if you're looking for pretty, you're looking at the wrong guy. I'll tell you what, you know, my words. You know, a young girl would come over and come after me, I'd know it's the devil, because anyone with good sense would never do it. So it had to be demonically possessed. I would get a kick out of these preachers hooking up with these women and getting messed up and all that kind of stuff. Don't they know it's a devil? How would they get over thinking? They must have some pretty big heads to think that they're that somebody would like them. I look at them and think, dear God, what would you think a woman would want you for? Dear Lord, my God. You know, just thank God if you got one. Hallelujah. You're out there chasing after something else thinking some young thing would like you. Well, you know that's demon-possessed. Hallelujah. You know, let's get real, people. I'll tell you, I know that guy I see in the mirror. I know him well. Most people don't know the person they look in the mirror at. They don't realize what they're like. You got to learn what you like. It's your flesh and that inner man. You look in that mirror. Hey, that boy there is the guy I got to keep. That's the one I see is the one I got to keep under control. That's the one I got to deal with. I can make him look pretty, put stuff on him, try to make him look young. But I want to tell you this. He's the troublemaker. And that inner man has to keep him in line. The guy you can't see is where the beauty's at and the glory's at. Hallelujah. I know the guy on the inside too. He's a lot better than the outside guy. He's a lot better than the outside guy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you have to know yourself in that manner. See, we've left those things in the church world today, and this idea of, you know, the idea of, you know, we get money and things and money and things, maybe we're just going to make everything pretty and glorious and all this kind of stuff. But what we're doing is gearing it toward the flesh. Hallelujah. Let's bring it back. I want the glory of God again. Hallelujah. So let's get in the right motivation of love. God wants to manifest. I've many times have had God manifest gifts through me just because, I tell you, I sit down, I just my heart would break concerning an individual, the stuff they're going through, and say, God, what can we do? I'm out of anything to know. You've got to show us what we can do. If you want to change something. You know, I'm not one of these people, let's try another thing, this worked for this guy, so let's try that. So we do today, we call a lot of things ministry that ain't ministry. We just try to duplicate what we did to somebody else. You know, you can't look at one person's problem, and even if it looks similar to another person, I don't mean what's going on is actually coming from the same source. The Lord rebuked me for that one day. He said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. And I know this, most doctors that you ever go to, that's all they do is treat symptoms. They don't ever find the core of what's wrong with you. They just treat, here, take this drug, it'll take that symptom away. Do I ever get better? No, you don't ever get better. You just take a drug for the rest of your life. Well, the Lord, I ain't going to knock them. God told me I was one of them. He said, you're not, and you know, he's dealing with me and myself. I'm trying to deal with the situation I got. And he's telling me, you're just dealing with symptoms. You're trying to deal with this thing, what you see on the outside. What you see on the outside is what's going on here. I mean, I'd been messing with that thing for over a year. God finally had to rebuke me. He didn't give me a good positive message. I'm sorry. So I did tell him about that. You're supposed to do a positive message, you know. Our leader said so. Our leader told us I was going to give a positive message. Now, you better get in line with him. But he told me, and you know what? I needed that. I needed that rebuke. I needed to be told. See, I was out of line, so I can't knock the doctor for doing it. I was doing it. Christians do it all the time. They see something outside. Well, this is what's wrong because they see this happening or that happening. And then I did find out what I needed to do, and it wasn't at all what I thought. Hallelujah. I was trying to change the situation. What happened was Ed needed to change. Hallelujah. When Ed changed the situation, God changed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that was good preaching anyhow. So we need to know this, and we're not going to go through all of it today, but we're going to just start off in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Well, let's read verse 13 of the 13th chapter. It says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Now, I want you to see, he's talking about three great things. The church has always been, oh, see, love's the greatest, you just got the love. He didn't say that. He said, there's three things here, the greatest of the three, which means the other two are great. You never leave the other two. If it requires faith to me to please God, then I'm going to need it. Hebrews 11 chapter tells us concerning hope, if you don't have hope, you can never arise at faith, because faith is the substance of the things you hope for. You have to get hope first. Many people are trying to get in faith and they don't have any hope. You got to get hope first, and then you'll get faith. Hallelujah. So he's telling us these things. Now, when he goes, now listen what he tells us to do. In the first verse of the next chapter, now I want you to see this, because chapter 14 is going to do this. As the Lord told me, this is what I'm supposed to emphasize in chapter 14. This is a Spirit-filled church, and he's telling us the conduct of Spirit-filled people in a Spirit-filled church. And we know this. Most churches today are not Spirit-filled churches because they don't even allow these things to go on in them. The Lord said, this is the conduct of the Spirit. I'm telling them, the Spirit-filled church, how to conduct themselves with the Spirit-filled operation. What you do in manifestations. What you do. See, because we're going to find out in this chapter, he tells us the number one thing we're supposed to do is that a church meets and Christians get together is for the purpose of edifying one another. That's why we're here. We're here to build each other up. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The teaching and instructing, it's not criticism, but there is constructive criticism. There's things we need to change and do. It's not to be mean, but we do this is why? So we can be built up, so we can hook up with God, so we can flow together, so you can operate in the Spirit where God wants you to, so you fulfill your part in the body of Christ. We all need it. There's no such thing as I can make it without you. There's things that will never be accomplished. See, some people want you know, they think they can just, if I go down here to a ministry where they got a really Spirit-filled minister, then therefore I can get all the stuff through him. No, you can't. He has a certain part that he plays, but there's things that will never happen or never take place till the body moves in the Spirit, the whole body. That's why Kenneth Hagin used to say this, the corporate anointing is the greatest anointing. There's no individual anointing greater than the corporate anointing. You get the corporate body moving in a direction, doing what's right, and I'll tell you, you'll see more demonstration and manifestation. That's how it does. If the body puts the brakes on, I don't care how anointed a minister can go no further than the body. He can't go any further than the body. He can't, because the body, if they don't pull on it, they don't hook up with it, they have to be able to flow with it. So you can't, like in the Spirit, people have this idea, well, I watch people do it. Go to Benny Hinn meetings, and they go there, and they have real problems, and nothing ever happens to them. They never get anything. And they go back to his meetings and go back to his meetings, and they have this idea. I don't have to hook up with God. I just go there, or he's hooked up, and he'll just fall on me. If you ever go around his meetings and look at his meetings, the majority of the people that get different things happen to them, miracles, they're almost all either sinners or baby Christians. The people that know something about God, God expects something out of them. They can't go down there and eat candy. That's all they want to do. I don't follow God. I know I'm supposed to, but I don't. And I'm just going to go down there and get healed. Yeah. I'm just going to go out here and do anything. And I'm going to go down there. I ain't believing God at all. It's Benny's job to heal me. So I can go down there and live any way I want. And I'll just get down there and it's going to fall out in. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work, never has worked that way. Why? Because there's a body. And the body, everybody has to do its part. See, aren't you glad you don't have to do my part? No, you don't have to do my part. You have a part to play and I stand in a part, but you don't have to do that. But you have a part you play. And you might say, what's your part? I don't know. Find out. I had to find out mine. My job ain't to find out your part. That's your job. That ain't my job. That's what you're supposed to do. I've had people over the years ask me, what am I supposed to do? So you've been a Christian for 30 years and you still ain't got a clue? What you been praying? What you been doing? Where do I fit in this thing? Where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? Where's my part? People don't know their part. Why? Because they're seeking for everything. We've been taught, seek for money, seek for this, seek for that, seek for the other thing, get this, get that. Well, the whole point, I learned this with healing. I sought healing and I sought money, and I wanted those things, but the whole thing, so I can fulfill my part. I don't have them just so I can have some stuff. They're to fulfill my part. That's what it's for. Hallelujah! You know what? And when you find out what your part is, you know what happens? You'll find out what you need. See, many people say, I don't know what I need. Well, if you don't know your part, who cares what you need? It don't matter. You find out what your part, then you know what you need. Everybody wants everything else up front. They want all the other stuff up front. And then, the last, we might ask God what he wants to do. I want to know my part. I want to know what I'm in. So finding out my part. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, ask God, he'll tell you. He'll tell you things if you ask. But it depends. This is what I learned a long time ago. You don't ask, you don't find out. Chapter 14, verse 1, he says this, pursue. So what are we supposed to do now? He told about the gifts of the Spirit. He told us about those things, the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He told us about the motivation of what we do in the operation of these gifts and in the body, deals with love. So he says this, pursue love. Pursue love. In other words, that's something, that's a pursuit. We always have. So in other words, that's something you're always going to pursue, to walk in love. That's what you do. And I'm going to tell you what, it's a pursuit. It's not always the easiest thing to do. I don't know. There's a lot of unlovely people out here, ain't there? Have you run into any of them? Have you had chances not to walk in love? Have you had them? Have you had to holster your gun and turn around and strap it to your side and maybe put a screw in it into your hip so you can pull it out? Use it. Have you ever been there? If you haven't, you ain't lived yet. Say, God, I'm going to love them. My flesh wants to choke them. But God, I'm going to love them. You say things like, God, let me be your hand of vengeance on them. Would you please? I would like to bring your wrath upon them right now, if you will. I'll repent later after I... I know. See, I'm saying this. You never thought such a thing. You cute people are so sweet and nice. Hey, because you thought that way, hey, your flesh and mind will go crazy, but on the inside, you know what you're supposed to do. On the inside, you know. And that's the part of you that's eternal. That's the part that helps, that's what keeps us straight. We know what to do on the inside. So we're pursuing love. And love is really always a pursuit from the standpoint to walk in it. To manifest it on the outside, it's a pursuit, isn't it? That's something you really got to work at. So we're supposed to pursue that. And he says these words. He says, desire spiritual gifts. Now the word gifts italicized. In other words, you desire the spiritual. The spirit, things of the spirit, you desire them. Now the word desire there is really, and we talked about this before, it is really a bad translation just to put the word desire, because really it means to earnestly desire or to crave. Now isn't that interesting? He didn't tell you to crave to walk in love. Why didn't he? It's because the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You just got to pursue what's on the inside. But I'm going to tell you what, the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to have to crave after them. You're going to have to want them to operate. You're going to have to want them in operation. They don't just happen because God wants to do it. Have you noticed? See, when the church desires psychology and desires all these other things, when they desire all this other stuff to have a church, you can't have the Holy Ghost manifesting. He won't. Because they're not fulfilling the Scripture. This is Spirit-filled people. He's telling us Spirit-filled people how to conduct themselves in their lives. We're supposed to have this earnest, craving desire for the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself. Through us. Through us. Through the entire body. Now, I don't want Him to just manifest through me. I want Him to manifest through you, too. I want Him to manifest through you. This is the desire. In the body. I want throughout the body of Christ, I want the gifts and manifestations, whether it is the gifts of the Holy Ghost or the gifts that Jesus gave to the church before he left, I want them in manifestation. I want those things. Why? Because in their spiritual operation, they're the only things that keeps the church running and makes it work. You can't have it without it. We need it. The church needs it. The Lord told Randall Greer, Randy had been praying, you know, for a move of the Spirit in our nation and talking about pouring His Spirit out, asking God about pouring His Spirit out. And he went to the Lord about it. He said, your scripture shows about the pouring out of the Spirit with things happening in the end days. And he said, we need it to reach the world. And the Lord said to him, I ain't trying to reach the world right now. I'm trying to reach the church. He said, I want to pour out my Spirit for the church and on the church to get a hold of them. This is one of the things why we have not seen what we want to see, because too much of the church thinks they're all right. Loads of these big name churches, and it's that they think they're all right, and they're in terrible shape because they've left the things of the Spirit. They don't have manifestations of gifts in their services no more. They don't even allow them in their service no more. They're hidden out back, you know, after the service is over. If you need help, go to the back room, and we'll try to get the Holy Ghost to do something there, because we don't want people to see this stuff. It might seem weird, you know, and we don't want anybody to see that. Holy Ghost is a pretty weird guy, and, you know, he might do something that makes me uncomfortable. Dear Lord, if anything the church needs to lose is its comfort. It needs to. My words. There's a lot of churches out here. My words. The Holy Ghost need to get literal dynamite to get them out, to blow them off their seats, to do something. My God. They don't even know there's a Holy Ghost anymore. And he told Randall Greer, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. He said, it's coming on the church, because he said, I got to get the church awake. I got to get the church back to where they're supposed to be. It's about the church. I've been saying that thing for years. There's no move of God without a move in the church. The moves start in the church. They don't start in the world. They start in the church. Hallelujah. And so we want to do that. So he made this. Now listen, he said, you pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. Now he makes mention of a specific gift. He said, but especially that you may prophesy. We find out there's a gift of prophecy. He said for the church to especially want prophecy. Especially. Especially. The manifestations of the gifts of prophecy in the church. We'll find out. I'm not going to go any further on this today. But we find out as we go on through here is the manifestation. He made mention, said all of you can prophesy. He said it in here. In other words, concerning the church, the manifestation of the gifts of prophecy is the only gift that he really specifically designates toward the whole church, that gift can operate through them all. Now, I want you to know this. Now, and we've heard teaching, people talk like, you know, tongues and tongues interpretation. I've operated in that all the time. It's like that's a higher gift. It's not a higher gift. Prophecy is a higher, out of the vocal gifts, which deals with prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Prophecy is the highest of those gifts. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation requires two gifts for them to function. Prophecy does not. Prophecy is on a higher level. Now, that doesn't mean... We know from a teaching that Paul did, tongues and interpretation can be equal to prophecy. If you have tongues, you don't have one without the other. You have to have them. But the whole thing of it is, he says, the purpose that these things are done is for the edification of the church. Isn't it means that God wants our mouths to edify the church? See, I believe these things are the keys of why we don't have the other gifts in operation. Because we want other stuff without operating in the stuff that he said to, especially we ought to prophesy. And he said, when prophecy is just is we speak unto men for edification, exhortation, and comfort. In other words, God has words he wants to say to people. It's just like this morning. Now, he did it through tongues and interpretation. He spoke this morning. But, you know, if Mike would have spoken tongues and I wouldn't have interpreted, there would have been no value to any of that. There would have been no value. But when the word scripture tells me, when I saw this, when I was a young Christian, especially that you may prophesy, I don't hear preachers preach this stuff. It's written in the Bible. And they talk about being, you know, we're word people. Well, why don't we get to be word people then? Why don't we start preaching the things we need? See, we got to preach these things, bring them back to the church. We need to bring the tongues interpretation and prophecy back to the church. They need to be out to be seen. That's what they're for. They're not to be used in some hidden place over here where we put that people don't see. They're to be out in the public. Why? They're out in the public to the church because it's for the edification of the church. The Lord spoke and said this to me. Most churches are not spiritual, and they do not have... He said there are very few New Testament churches. He said a New Testament church will have going on in them what is going on in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is the stuff that goes on in the church. This is what a New Testament church has going on in it. God's opinion about what churches are what is totally different than the 90% of what the church believes. God's opinion is totally different. It's like years ago when, some years back, he spoke to me about, I made mention and used the term concerning a Christian groups that did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, and I said they were fundamentalist, and he rebuked me on it. Then again, see, he didn't use a positive thing. I don't know what's, he has this thing about Ed. I don't know, it must just be me. He said, they are not, he didn't say it real cute, he said, oh Ed, no, come on, you made a mistake. He said, they're not fundamentalists. He said, you're a fundamentalist. He said, you fundamentally believe the word's true. They don't. They don't fundamentally. Fundamentally. Look, there is loads of... let me just say this. Most of the revelation of the New Testament cannot be revealed to a church that does not believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues. Because lots of revelation is tied to that. People who don't believe you're supposed to have that, you can't give them the revelation. They don't want it. They don't want that revelation. And look, I'm not, thank God they're saved. They're going to go to heaven. We're going to be in heaven together. But I want to know about heaven here in the earth right now. I want some heaven here. Heaven there, that's going to be great. But down here, it'd be good to get some, wouldn't it? Let's have some heaven here. And we're going to do it by being spiritual, not being religious. I don't want to go this far with God. You know, all the stuff in the New Testament, all the stuff, most of it, it ended. It's all gone. Then if it ended, what do we even bother? I don't understand why you can go to church. If it ended, what's the point? Get saved and just go whatever. Do whatever you want. No, that was all put in here. And it's about a Spirit-filled church. And really, Paul in the 14th chapter, and we're going to talk about, the Lord said, is to teach on the conduct in the Spirit-filled church. What a Spirit-filled church is supposed to be like. The things we'll see in demonstration, the things that we can have. The things that we can do and God wants to do and manifest through you and I. Spirit-filled isn't words on a page. Spirit-filled is a manifested life. Hallelujah. A manifested life. Glory to God. Let's have that manifested life. What do you think? Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to take communion today. Hallelujah. In our communion, I'm going to tell you what. Jesus, I mean, just take what Jesus said. Hey, guys, before he left, before I go, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask God to send you guys the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. Now, they had all that communion. Now, understand, he was teaching that at the communion table. That's what he was teaching at the communion. He's taught those guys. And he's teaching them to take communion. He says, he gives them the communion thing. He passes the cup around. He passes the bread around. And then he didn't say, well, now I'll tell you what. Now the most important thing about all this is I'm going to die for you and be raised from the dead. That's the most important thing in that stuff. And he didn't know that night. He said, you know what? He said some things that related to those kinds of things. But he talked to them about the Holy Ghost. He talked to them about the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's what it... Hey, the big deal is, hey guys, I'm going to be going. I'm going to be leaving. They're sitting around there. I don't get it. I don't understand. He said, I'm going to be leaving. You know what? Don't worry though. When I go, Dad's going to send the Holy Ghost. What do you think? Hallelujah. This is going to be a great thing. God's going to send... This is what this guy's going to do, and he tells him all this stuff the Holy Ghost is going to do. Folks, that was in the communion table. Communion table is about you and I getting the gift of the Holy Spirit. Communion. We got born again. We became born again for the sole purpose that God could come and live in men. God wanted to live in you. Now I'm going to tell you, if God lives in you, then he wants to manifest through you. See, we talk about incarnation. Jesus Christ was incarnated as a man. I'm going to tell you, God is still in incarnation. God is incarnated in this man. God is in this body. See, we need to get these revelations. What Jesus was trying to bring across and what Jesus was bringing through that communion table. You know, we've used a communion table for a lot of things, get people repentance and things, healing and all those stuff. Man, we ought to start taking the whole package. But we need to come out as taking communion. I'm going to tell you, we're one with God. We take the blood, we drink the blood, and we eat that body because we're one with God. Whatever you eat becomes one with you. And it's a reminder, you and I, the church, one with God. That's what you and God are so one that God moved in. That God lives as one with you. God is in your body. God is. I have some revelation on that, but I'll tell you what, there's a part of my mind that just goes tilt. God, hallelujah. It's such a one. God incarnated in men today. God is still walking in this earth in bodies. Hallelujah. And you be one of those bodies he's walking around in. Hallelujah. You're one of those bodies that he's down here. God. Hallelujah. And when we look, that's what Jesus did for you. Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, made you one with God. Hallelujah. Whew. I'm going to be honest with you. And this is not to any individual. This is just to us, to all. We live beneath it. We live beneath that glory. Now, it ain't to throw rocks at us. Hallelujah. We're getting revelation on it. We're getting understanding on it. We're going someplace with it. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, in these last days before Jesus comes, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be God men in this earth. Hallelujah. Manifested God men in this. Not just nice words on a page. There are going to be people living in this earth like God's in them. Hallelujah. Like God's in the earth. Hallelujah. They're not going to be trying to get God in the earth. God's going to be in them manifesting himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's us. Hallelujah. I've already decided I'm part of that crowd. Hallelujah. I'm taken up with that. I want that. Hallelujah. And that's what we got. And we're taking communion this morning. It's to remind who we're joined with. Jesus is the one that did it. He's the Lord. And the Lord did this for us. Hallelujah. He put us in this place. We were singing this morning about him sitting at the right hand. We're singing about the right hand of the throne of God. You know who's seated at the right hand of the throne of God with him? The Bible says we are. We're seated with him in heavenly places. Glory to God. We were just singing about our seat. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I could take a running spell, I think, here. Woo! Hallelujah. Makes me happy to think about those things. Glory to God. And Jesus gave us the simple elements of the blood and the body to remind us. Hallelujah. My God. You know, if people are preaching these things, you don't want to live in sin, do you? Man, when you think about what God made us, what on earth would we want to live in sin for? Dear Lord. That's so far beneath you and me. Glory to God. Sin is so far beneath what God's made us. My words, who wants to live like an idiot? Dear Lord. Hallelujah. When we have a choice, we can live like God or live something stupid. Hallelujah. I don't understand why these people want these stupid churches today. I ain't got a clue. Hallelujah. When we could live like God. Thank God for the ones that are living like God. I thank you for the ones that are standing and walking with God. Hallelujah. I tell you, when you stand for God, you don't realize what a big thing you do. Hallelujah. You're doing a big thing. Father, we just say thank you this morning. Lord God, we're so glad to be in your presence. We're so glad, Lord God, that you, Lord, thank you for giving us the truth. Lord God, thank you for revealing these revelations to us and opening our hearts to see and understand these things. Because, Father, you know our great crave and desire, Lord God, is to fulfill your purposes in these last days. Father, these are your people and they're hungry. Lord God, there's a search on. Lord, we're like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, in the 13th chapter, he said, we're looking through a glass darkly. Lord, many times I feel like I'm looking through a glass darkly, but Lord God, there's lights of revelation that are breaking through in this day and time, Lord, that men have dreamed to walk in and have dreamed to go there. But Lord God, it's tied to obedience to your word and to walking in the truth that you've laid down before us. And Father God, I thank you that light's going to keep breaking through and breaking through till that veil comes down completely and Jesus Christ returns and takes us away. Hallelujah. And Father, we come humbly before these elements because, Lord God, they represent Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And there's none like Jesus. Lord God, we don't claim anything that we've done that has put us in the position that you've put us in Christ Jesus. It's been done by his great work. And Lord God, I want to thank you for the benefits that we have gotten through Jesus Christ, but we have always received ours by faith. He did his by actual work. Lord God, he did and earned it all and gave it to us. What a Lord! What a Lord! And we just say thank you, Jesus. We honor you today as the head. And truly, Lord Jesus, we can't make it without you. There's no way Without you, Lord Jesus, and the help of the Holy Ghost, can we fulfill your plans in these last days? And we recognize that. Lord God, we recognize that we're not some great talents. Lord God, if the Holy Spirit don't move through us, all it is us. Lord, we've had it with us. We want the Holy Spirit in manifestation. We want the demonstrations. And so we come today, and Lord God, we will remind ourselves as we take these elements of who and what we have become through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we take these things in honor of Him and with thankful hearts, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God. We're going to do what the Word says. We're going to pursue love. We're going to crave earnestly the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and especially that we might prophesy. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.